Lot of mercy, Benji Webb, been on the place. Now watch this Benji Webb's happening podcast. Coming out to South Wales, bring up Sean Smith. You're done in other business. Love you. Benji Webb from Double Assessor, right? So what you saying, bruh? Let me turn this fucking shit off when it does my head right in.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to Sappening Podcast.
Sappening!
You are listening to episode 194 of Sappening Podcast, featuring myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards, and this is a warning for an episode of Roots, Rock, and Riots.
Right, next time me and you are in a room together, right? That was so bad that nobody gets out alive.
Ah, I did feel a lot of pressure on this one.
Oh, you fucking fuck. I bet you knew. You wrote that down and didn't say it in the first one because you knew I'd have a fucking comeback for it and then you'd be like, oh, is it right then? You fucking bastard. Yes, this week's guest is Skindred. But most importantly, at the moment, Dub War frontman, DJ, and unbelievable giant personality, and one of the greatest British Jamaican frontmen of all time. And yes, I'm including Robert Marley in that. This week's guest is the beautiful Benji Webb from Skindred and Dub War.
Yes, the mayor of Newport, if you ask me, and one of the biggest personalities you'll ever meet. He's comedian type funny and someone who spent a career connecting people with his love for punk, metal, reggae, and simply good vibes. Skindred has spent the last 20 years inspiring audiences around the globe, becoming the ultimate festival party. And Benji's original band, Dub War, have just made a return with their first new body of work in 26 years. That's how long I've been alive.
Wow. That's mad.
Sorry, Benj. Don't want to make you feel old. With Westgate under fire. And everything this man does is a passionate project. So he invited us to his lovely home in Newport to record this on a very sunny day. It was shining, stories were flowing, and we just had smiles all around. And Sean, it's apparent that our love for Benji is massive, but Skindred, Dub War, bands that you've really loved growing up with.
Oh, yes. Unbelievable. I've been lucky enough to see both bands a couple of times. I saw Dub War in a different iteration a couple of years ago, I think. Skindred, like you said, the perfect festival band. It doesn't matter if you're into rock or metal or reggae or pop or any of that. They will manage to get you going. However, whatever you're into, I'd imagine you could be deaf and blind and Skindred would still be a good time. You would be a bit scared when somebody starts ripping your top off halfway through the set, like to be like, you got to swing this. But the new Dub War record, it's out. As we record this, it is number 12 in the midweek charts. And so we are hoping that Dub War get their first ever top 40 album today.
Yeah, it'd be a huge celebration if so. But this really conversation, we talk everything about the return of Dub War, why it felt like the right time, signing to their original label, everything going on with Skindred, and just the connection they've built over the last two decades. bringing people together, appreciating life and people around it. If they'll ever actually headline Download, which a lot of people are calling for, and just some mad stories, including Paul McCartney, Rob of Metallica, and one of the best sentences Sean has ever heard in his life.
Unbelievable. What a story. What a life Benji's led. And you wouldn't see him on stage, you'd think he was fucking 31. If that. Like the energy, the fucking confidence, the fucking brilliance, the ability as well. That's the thing. It's like, you could be a good front man and have absolutely no singing talent whatsoever. Hello. But then you could have that and be able to sing and rap as well as Benji can. Ah, I'm green with jealous fucking rage right now. But thank you very much to Benji for inviting us to his palace in Pill in Newport, where we got to experience what it was like to spend a day with royalty. We had a great time. He's got a beautiful home. And it was good to see some of the things that he's acquired from venues, shall we say. Mm. Wink!
Good wording there. Good wording.
Thank you. But he's allegedly acquired, according to my lawyer.
But we felt very lucky doing this. This was a great time, and we really appreciate it. And to continue this podcast happening each and every week, please go and check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/sapnin. Over there, there's a load of extra bonuses, never-before-released podcasts, and you get included into a wonderful community of people who just help us make this every week and are the best humans on the planet. But enough about us. Let's hear some of the maddest stories you will ever experience. This is Mr. Benji Webb of Skindred, Dub War, and all your favorite bands on episode 194 of Sapnin Podcast.
Got a lot of love for Benji. Sapnin!
Sapnin!
Oh, I really revved up into that one, didn't I?
Sapnin.
Yes. Hey. Our guest this week is singer, songwriter. He's definitely in the top three frontmen of all time.
Ooh. That's big shoes, bro. Big shoes. Sometimes I think people are taking a piss. Like,
no,
you know what I'm saying? No, fuck off. Fucking Benji. No, but honored, mate. Okay. Honored that you should say that.
Literally, the inspirational Benji Webb of Dub War and Skindred.
Yes. How are you?
I'm good, you know, bro. I mean, it's nice to be back rocking and rolling around the world, you know. Well, around Europe anyway for the minute, like, you know, but yeah. And, you know, the Dub War things fucking come from the back to the front, and it's like, I didn't know what to do. I mean, me and Richie been writing, we wrote music from when Dub War finished. We always been in each other's life, and we said we'd do a Dub War thing a little while back. I don't know if you want to talk about that.
We
did the Dub War gig, a couple of them, and it was really good. It was really, really good. And Mikey Gregg, who sat in for Ginge, was the original drummer, was doing a great job. And we just started going in the studio, now and again, just writing stuff and working on it. And pandemic hit. We wasn't going to do the album like that, but we were going to do it over a period of time when Skindred had a break, kind of thing. Yeah. But now it's pandemic hit, and I wrote the whole new Skindred album, which is called Smile, by the way.
Nice.
But the good thing about this, we signed to Earache Records. Skindred signed to Earache Records, and Dub War originally was with Earache Records.
Wow.
So when I suggested, like, do you fancy having another Dub War record? Yeah. Diggy was like, nah, at first. Bastard. No, you don't own it. He said, I'm interested in Skindred. I'm just really interested in Skindred. I said, oh, cool. So anyway, someone else was dating us, and all of a sudden he got jealous and went, what's going on here with this? You talking to this label? I said, well, you know, he said, you know, would it be easier if you all just have all the albums Dub whatever done in the same stable? And I thought, yeah, that makes fucking sense. Like, you know, so yeah, so Digby just gave us a couple of quid and said, I'll put it out.
Nice.
But we had a few songs which we recorded, like Fun Done, which is, we recorded that for Record Day about 2016. We just thought we'd do something different. So we recorded that. Then we recorded another song for Halloween, which is called Making a Monster. And then we went in, we did about 4 or 5 songs with Mikey Gregg on drums, and Mikey was cool. But Mikey travels a lot. I don't know if you know Mikey Gregg.
Yeah,
Krupa. He does a lot. Yeah, Krupa. Mikey Krupa.
Just been out with one of One Direction.
One of the ones for Louis, I think his name is. Yeah, he went out with him. He's he's still out there now doing it. So he wouldn't have been here anyway to promote the album. And I didn't really want to get a member in the band as such. You know, I mean, the three of us are quite capable of fucking killing each other without another person, being there. Like, so we just thought we'd get different drummers. And I said, you know what? I know. And then when the pandemic hit hard and we were just doing, like, Richie would do a little drum beat, send it to me, send it to Jeff, and it was just a circle of the three of us going in there. So I said, you know what? I'm going to fucking ask Mike Bowden. In fact, I'm going to ask all the drummers I know.
Yeah.
Who, like, but I only wanted the ones who actually like what I do, like, you know, yeah, what I mean? Not just, oh, Dave Lombarda, I'm the guy, the black guy from Skinhead, man. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to go, Dave from fucking El Nino, I know you can't come and fucking play, you know, fucking Mike Borden, you know what I mean? And that vibe. But I reached out to him, and bro, as I reached out to them people, they all said, you know what, because I knew they wouldn't be doing nothing during the pandemic, especially for drummers, you know what I mean? And yeah, Mike Borden, first I phoned Mike, and he's like, yeah, man, I had a feeling it, man. I said, you haven't even heard the fucking thing.
That's
tell
a bad
me you
start.
Ain't feeling it. Fucking negative bastard. And then I said, look, we're having another go. Yeah. I said, look, be like Alan. I said, you're going to let this fucking thing defeat you, are you, bro? You're going to go down with the ship, are you, bro? And I put the phone down. I said, all right, Mike, don't bother them, man. Fuck it. You know, 10 minutes later, I'm in, bro. I'm in. I mean, this thing ain't fucking defeating me, man. I said, there you go. That's the attitude. So we sent a track called Get Back Up to Mike, and he did that track. And we see on the other side. So we got Mike to do that one. He was cool. He was a good story. We asked a few others who were busy at the time. We asked Dave from El Nino. He's a good friend of mine. He's been since Skindred was on tour with POD back in the day. Wow. He's been a friend of mine. Yeah, we'd actually done a song called Crying Clowns with Mikey Dolan and Jamie Miller from Snot.
Snot.
Yeah, so it's like Dub War Snot. And the first time I went to America, I was, you know, hanging out with Snot. We toured the whole, yeah, with Lynn Strait and all that fucking groovy stuff. We got a friend of mine who loves Chinese food. Me and him go for Chinese. No, I tell you what, bro, if it wasn't for fucking sweet and sour balls, chicken balls, I don't think me and him would talk, like, you know. And that's Tanner Wayne. And Tanner was in a band, some sort of emo-y kind of band back in the day. But I fell in love with Tanner Wayne, and I've been in love with him. And now he plays for a band called In Flames.
Nice.
Yeah, so Tanner Wayne played on Celtic Cross. It's called Celtic Cross, but it doesn't mention a Celtic Cross in it once. But it's a cool tune. And, like, you know, like I said, sweet and sour chicken balls brought us together all over Britain. When
that's
talk.
True love. That
yeah,
is true
that's
love.
That's
yeah.
how it goes. Like,
but,
yeah.
Man, like, I feel like I was going to mention with this, it feels like this is such an exciting project for you to bring Dub War back in a lot of ways, because, you know, this is the first proper record of new music you guys have done together in like 26 years.
Right. Yeah, it's been a while.
So in a way, does it feel quite like sentimental bringing it back and having it on the same label?
I think having it on the same label and having the same kind of management dealing with it is a blessing, because I don't think I could have done this if it was on another label, because there's that clash, you know, there's that big clash. But it's very sentimental. I had to fucking scrap with Richie Glover, proper scrap out the back, like, to put Stay Together on the album, because we did a cover of Al Green's Stay Together, and that's, you know, it ain't a single or anything, but that was like something I've always wanted to do, and I wanted to do it. Jeff Rose, for me, is one of the greatest guitarists of all time. I've played with some of the motherfuckers out there, and Jeff is good, humble, and monster, you know. And when I would say, work the chords out to that, Jeff, and he's like, fuck it. you're killing me, like, but he did it. And I thought, Richie, and we got it together, and we did Let's Stay Together, the Al Green classic, and I think we did it justice. You know, it's a good vibe. So this album is sentimental. And that the old guy on the back of the album, people might see, if you look at the picture, what's important, the Westgate Under Fire is taken from a mural that was in Newport Town. Yeah. And this is a mural that sort of, I never understood when I was a child what was going on. It was just a bit of weird artwork on the wall. And it's only in the last, in my ignorance, in the last 5 years that I've been tuned into the Westgate situation with the Chartists and stuff. Yeah. You know, so that's what I wanted to model the artwork on. And this guy here, his name is Sir Francis Lodge of the Subway in Newport. And he used to sing like Pavarotti and fucking that Italian vibe. You know, and he did it really well. He wasn't fucking great, but he did it well, and he was a mark of Newport. So I thought I'd put him on the Dub War album as a tribute. And there's Mikey's Krupa sticker on there as well. Nice. So it's like this album like means so much to us. And the Chartists, they were the first person to scream for democracy in the UK, and I thought that's something that Newport should celebrate, you know. So that's why I call it Westgate Under Fire. Plus, Westgate Under Fire sounds like a Clash album.
It does, to be fair.
It sounds like Joe Strummer, the album. Oh, I found just track and drum strummers like Westgate Under Fire, and it's just the Clash. I love the Clash. I mean, I think what they did for music, they basically, if you had to say Wasp, Skindred, and Dubwar, I'd say we are the bastard sons of like the Clash. Like that's why, in my mind, watching that, bringing that sound of Jamaica and bringing that sound of the UK and like the rebel music together, that's what I do. What I do, you know what I mean? And make it like that.
Have you ever had any chance to meet anyone from the Clash?
I met Joe Strummer, and it was really cool because I was backstage in a little festival in Exeter. You was there, weren't you? Yeah, I was in a little festival in Exeter, and Joe was there, and I was like, wow, fucking hell, Joe Strummer. I went up. I said, all right, Joe. And he went, oh, yeah. Dubwar, Newport.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's exactly what he said. Dubwar, Newport. Yeah. Dubwar. Yeah. I was like, that was cool. And now and then we had a little conversation, but I didn't want to fanboy him too much. I just thought I'd leave the man alone. Yeah. So I met Joe there. I also seen him in it was fucking great, actually. I was talking to Robert about something in Newport, right? Backstage at the, remember that beautiful club in the Sunset, the House of Blues? Yeah, remember that? It was a really cool place in Los Angeles. And we went to a Mandalorian concert. Not, that's the wrong fucking name I was getting it from. Whatever band he had last, anyway. We went there. And I was talking to Robert about something in the green room afterwards. And fucking great. He goes, oh, thought it was you, Newport.
Fucking hell.
Class. I looked and Joe says, yeah, man, yeah. You guys doing anything? So I'm with this new band, no? Skindred and blah, blah, blah. He said, oh, like, you hear that? Brilliant.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
So that was like, you know, but when someone who I say, like, oh, I want to do that reggae rock thing that the Clash are doing, I want to do that and do it with by any means necessary with the punk and the dance and fucking whatever's cool and vibing, the dubstep, all that shit, I want to do it, but like the Clash kind of thing. And that's all I've been doing for all these years. For when Joe says, oh, Newport, is it? Oh,
we could. That's a football line.
Yeah. Good vibes.
He thinks of you, he thinks of Newport. Or he thinks of Newport,
I'm in there, like,
King of Newport.
I'm in there.
King of Newport.
Well, that's the thing. I think a lot of people just kind of see you on stage with whatever band and feel like it's such a fun, loving environment. Obviously, you love to get everyone involved and have a laugh. But, like, would you consider yourself more of a punk kid in that kind of regard then? Or because obviously you're into so many different elements.
I'm Rasta punk, metalhead, dread. I don't put a finger on it like that. As such, I mean, for me, I mean, being a free spirit is more important than putting a fucking clothes peg on yourself, whatever the fuck they call it, you know. But I just feel like if I dig punk rock and I want to wear fucking bondage, I'm wearing them. And if I want to wear a Bob Marley t-shirt or a Dennis Brown shirt, as much as I'm into Pantera, you know, I mean, I'd love to get Bob Marley to sing for Pantera. You know what I'm saying? That's the kind of vibe. That's what spurs me on music. Like, I sit on fucking YouTube for hours listening to mashups, bro. Hours, literally, and I love that shit. You know what I mean? Yeah, man.
Speaking of Pantera, here's a moment. Do you remember where you were the day that Dimebag Darrell died?
I got a good one, bro. I gotta say, I got a fucking good one here for you.
Yeah, go on.
All right, so we're touring America in the bus.
Ooh.
Because that's how it feels for us. When you got a bus in America, we're doing all that because we've done a couple of fucking van tours, bro. Yeah. So I think, we're on a bus and we stop at Denny's. Lovely morning. Fucking, you know, we had a great show. We fucking played, I can't remember if it was playing with Seventus or something, but the tour was going well.
It was Chevelle.
Was it?
It was Open Hand.
Who else was it?
Chevelle, Open Hand. Well, I know, yeah.
Right, go on. I know we toured with Chevelle, didn't we?
Yeah. I think it was Chevelle headlining because they had the motorbikes on the bus. Yeah, Chevelle headlining, you guys open under opening because I turned up.
You was there as well. You was at that show.
That show.
Fucking hell, there you go. I thought it was fucking Seventh.
And
you go. He knows more than me.
That was the first time I ever went to America, 2004.
Well, I remember seeing you in America.
And I remember seeing you.
And Brian Johnson was there when we were there.
Yeah, I went out there with Lost Prophets. We turned up that day.
That's right. So the Dimebag thing happened with me. I was...
Corn. Corn headlining.
Was Corn? There you go. Chevelle. Who else was there?
Corn. Chevelle, you guys, Lost Prophets, Open Hand. Lost Prophets is just
that
added
was a, that was
on.
A sweet something they called it. Was Clearwater in Florida. Because that's where Brian Johnson turned up as well, wasn't it? Because it was one of them radio shows.
Yeah, that was the next day, I think.
Was it?
Pensacola, I think, was.
He's good, man.
He's done his research.
Yeah, check this out, right? My first time in America, and I'm around fucking Lost Prophets, one of my favourite bands. Skindred, yeah. One of my favourite bands. Korn, one of my fucking favourite bands.
Living
I
dream.
Loved a load of Chevelle songs.
There you are.
And then I'm there, the fucking...
That's, you know, see that kind of little things like that? That makes life good for me. I can't complain about life. And that's the kind of stuff that makes me go on.
Yeah, and fucking then fucking December, December the 19th, 2004, I'm in fucking Pensacola.
That's how we do it inside the place. Big up! Now what's this happening, bruh? What's happening? You know what? Give you what up. We're celebrating... Sean's first time in America. What was it? Sean got the vibes in the place. We're doing it like this. Watch your ride, rude boy. Boy. Step up. Yeah, man.
Oh, that's a first.
So anyway, so you're in America. Dan's on his haircut like I next week.
Is he?
He's fucking copying you. I know he is, right? So that's your, that was the, I remember that gig well. But anyway, so the morning, we're on. We're on a bus. Bus. So the morning now, I'm in the, we say, let's go to Denny's. Now, these motherfuckers, I love Denny's, but they're like, yeah, I don't like Denny's. And I'm like, come on, boys, go to Denny's. Well, we went to Denny's. Funny as fuck. So we get in there, and it's us and a couple of the American crew. So we're doing the table, and it was one of them moments I actually seen it on the television. I'm in Denny's, and the telly's on, and me and the boys are all, we've had breakfast. And during the breakfast, as it comes, the girl's like, you know, she's a friendly girl, the southern girl. And she and we watch that, and like some of the boys can't eat, they got to go back to the bus, and some of them want to go for a walk, like, and stuff. And I say, I'm a fucking pig, I'm going to eat my food anyway, boys, you know what I mean? So I sat there, and I had my food, and they all left their tips and whatnot and their money for their food, and they went off. And the girl came up to me, and I'm looking, I'm thinking, man, I've been to that club when that guy got shot. I can see how easy it is that if you wanted to kill somebody in that situation, you know, they didn't search and nobody to go in there, blah, blah, blah. You got all that going on, like, you know what I mean? So I'm thinking, well, could be anyone, like, could be, you know, to do, you know, to have been to that club. And that's what was freaking me out the most. Like, it wasn't like, it was someone I'd met recently, someone I'd met been shot, you know what I mean? And it's like, wow. I mean, I think that's the first for me. You know, I've had people die on me before, but not, Pantera, you look at Pantera as such a big band, you know, even from when I first started, like, you know, playing music. I love Pantera. And I'm there now, and I'm, you know, the girl's cleaning the glasses and whatnot. And she says, like, do you know that guy? I goes, yeah. She said, I thought you guys were musicians. Wait, where are you all from? She cleaning the glasses. I goes, we're from the United Kingdom. She goes, the United Kingdom? Is that in Africa? What?
I
said no. I actually just fuck. I never even laughed. I just went, no, darling. It's in Britain. Do you know Britain? She goes, yeah.
I thought, well, it sounds like it could be in Africa.
Fucking hell.
And that sort of like made me go, you know what? Fucking South America. You know, and you know, that was the day. And the reason why I remember that with the whole thing, that was the situation. I still ate my food, fucking greedy bastard. The boys couldn't eat theirs. They left their tips and went out. And then that girl fucking asked me, is that in Africa? Fucking, you know what I mean?
So, yeah, I remember. Yeah, I just remember being out there because after the show, we watched the show and... Yeah, I was just outside and I just... Because Korn had three buses, I think.
Yeah.
And then side-loading the ones that open out.
The pop-outs, they call them, bro. We had one once. And we had the best fucking driver ever, bro, in America. We had about three or four weirdos, but the one was fucking... Do you know some people you meet for that three-month period and you don't... Like, I don't even think... He could be dead or whatever, but he's made such a mark on me, this driver, and he was so cool, man. Yeah, he was so cool. What was his name again? No, fuck knows, but... I know, what was his name? He's got a nick, Dave Cassidy. Kevin Cassidy, that's his name. Oh, yeah, Kevin nice Cassidy. Man. Yeah, he got like a country singer's name.
Yeah, right? Sounds it. Sounds it.
Cool as fuck. I think he's from Chicago or something, but he was really good, man.
Yeah. But you've got a career of so many stories like that and experiences and meeting people. I'm sure just like when you look back on it, there's so many little characters you've met along the way.
Yeah, man. I met a guy who said to me once, hey, y'all from England? I said, yeah. I got family. I said, where you got family, bro? Let me think now. He goes, I got family in Chippenham. How random is that? I thought it was fucking great. And he, that story, I tell that story all the time because it's the way he goes, I got family in Chippenham. And he was really proud to say it. Right wrong with the thing. You're saying it fucking wrong, sir. He's chipping on me, that cunt. Them stories I got millions of.
Yeah.
Well, I saw you. I won't say on what tour, but I saw you somewhere once.
Catch me out now, and you see. Go on, yeah.
You know, you were supporting another band, and I saw you, and you'd been on tour with them for a while, and I was like, oh, I was a tour going with them. And you were like, oh, yeah, it's been all right, yeah. We haven't seen the headliners very much or whatever. And I was like, all right, cool. And then we were sitting in catering and one of the headliners walked past, right? And he was like, hey, Benj, what's up? And you said, just talking about you, bro. Nothing good, mind, right?
Yeah,
and it was fucking...
Yeah.
Bro, I have cried about four times since I remember it now, right?
Just talking about you, bro.
Just talking about you, bro.
See his face
nothing
as well.
Good, mind.
Yeah, well...
And just fucking he kept walking. I was like, you don't even know you fucking...
I know, you never... And you wouldn't care. Yeah. His head's up his ass that far and his fucking feet are dangling out.
Oh, bro, I have laughed so fucking much.
That's
at
good,
that fucking
man.
Story.
You know what? I've been on the road. I like to be, well, you know, look, I said, look where I live, man. I live in a fucking, like, a rundown neighborhood, bro, but I fucking want to bring the magic here, like, you know what I mean? And I like that. I like some boys in the band, like, they, like, we're playing Bedford the Squires. They're like, oh, I'm like, dude. You know, I love that. That's the kind of stuff I enjoy. I enjoy the underdog story. You know what I mean? And it's like, I ain't afraid to tell those fucking people who think there's something. It's like, you know, the same person you said. I said to him the other day, I met Paul McCartney, motherfucker. I met Paul McCartney and he was really nice. Really nice. What's wrong with fucking you?
That's the thing. No one's got an excuse if you met one of the Beatles.
You know what I mean? I've met Paul McCartney and he was lovely. He says to his missus, come here, love me. This band, yeah. Love me. I'm like, what? His missus come over one leg, hopping over, hopping across Heathrow. Yeah. And she came over and he introduced her. He asked me my name. He sort of used reverse psychology because I'm stood there. He's carrying his own baggage in fucking Heathrow, right? And I'm cool with that. Like, I mean, I think that's pretty cool because he ain't got to do that.
No.
He got so much peasy. That just showed me how fucking thrifty he is. You know what I mean? Because I'd have some other fucker doing that for me.
Oh, yeah. You wouldn't even need to see him if
it. No.
Yeah, he could just fucking.
Slide in and slide out. No one would know. Anyway, so he's in there. I see him. And my mate who's from Newport at the time comes up. He goes, oh, fucking Paul McCartney is it, bro? Oh, fucking hell. Like, and Paul McCartney goes, yeah, mate. He said, look, right. And he goes, let me take a fucking photo. This is before our fucking phones, bro. This
God.
Is like when you really had a camera.
Yeah.
You had to click that shit, one of them, right? He said, let me take a photo. Paul McCartney says, no, I don't want to take a photo because we'll have loads of people all wanting photos as well. But what I'll do, I'll shake your hands. I thought, what a fucking... Nice. Fucking the nap prick's going, hey, man, fuck you. You know what I'm saying? And when you meet people, I give people a best of three. If I meet somebody who's in a band or something and I meet them once... And they're a bit offish with me, I'm cool with that. If I meet them again and they're offish with me, you know, it is what it is. But I meet them again, I've made my decision, you're a fucking asshole. It's as simple as that. Nice. There's no escaping.
That's three chances,
bruh.
Nice.
Because, you know, you meet me and Asda arguing with Julie at the tail, I'm not a nice fucking guy. You know, you want to come up and take a selfie, it's not the fucking time, bro.
Yeah,
you know, I'm
true.
Telling them it's not the time, bro. You know what I mean? And I see him outside and he go, no, what the fuck are we? I'm still pissed off from before. You know what I mean? That's the vibe, bro. Serious, bro. Just trying to be real, bro. That's almost that's my whole career.
Yeah.
I've been about trying to be fucking real, like not pretending you're anything more. Like I said, if I'm going on stage, I'm wearing fucking black, gold, and green fucking Raven's wings. You know, but I'm gonna ask it like I am on my fucking Dennis Brown t-shirt. You know what I mean, bro? Just, you know, I want to be that guy. But at the same time, I don't want to lose touch with my fucking people around me, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it's sort of putting mixture in there and finding the balance in between everything.
Yeah.
Because, like, obviously, we're recording this and you've invited us to your lovely, humble abode. And there's a lot of kind of just looking around, like kind of member beer and things you've kind of just taken from venues.
Taken, that's
and stuff.
The word, stealing. Like, things I fucking, actually, I stole that record player, right?
Okay.
From my infant school through the skylight in the school. I left it open and I went back for it. At 8 years of age.
Oh, wow.
I went through, I listen to me now, right? I had to put two tables and a chair on top of it. I don't know why I never fucking killed myself and ain't a cripple today. Never falling down. And then handed it to my mate. But I wanted it. I never had one in the house. Oh, my brother had one, and he was always fucking saying, touch my record, touch my record. Yeah. That's why I was like, I can't afford one. And my mother and father ain't buying me fucking shit. They wouldn't even buy me a bike. Yeah. I had to nick that too. You know? So I went through the sky roof, put two tables and a chair. Fucking, to this day, I think, how would I do that? Yeah. I'm 8 years of age, bro. Eight.
Okay. Sounds like Mission Impossible.
It was Mission Impossible. I left the sky. I had to, listen, I was in school. I was 8, 9, 10. I had to fucking make sure. Because I was the chair monitor, so I had to make sure that I had, like, you know what I mean? I did everything. Yeah. Left the skylight open a little bit, went back at night, fucking got it. Summer's afternoon, got about 10 o'clock, didn't tell my parents. Happy as Larry, and do you know what? That's the same fucking needle I had then, bruh.
Wow.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, that record player there is something that, like I said, I did that long.
It's in good condition.
I just played the Dub War album on there with Richie and signed these fucking things. This sounds great. Wow. Brilliant. Beautiful. Yeah, that's the same record player.
Yeah, you got a fucking fantastic place. I love it.
Like I said already, I don't know how long this thing's gonna last, but I'd like to, you know, like how the mummies buried himself with their shit. That's what I want to do, but not like mentally around me now. Like, it's a good spot. Like, check that shirt out there, Sean.
Oh, nice.
My Will Smith t-shirt. I've had that a while too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Before the slap.
Pre-slap.
Yeah, before the slap.
Fuck, what did the five fingers say to the face, bitch? Slap.
Fucking brilliant. Yeah, oh, before
sorry,
the slap.
Charlie Murphy, I'm having too much fun.
Charlie Murphy, mate. What a fucking... Yeah. So-
hey, folks. I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oh yeah, I keep my memorabilia around me. I enjoy it. It's just something I love to have, like, you know what I mean? But my missus will only let me decorate two rooms, because otherwise the whole house would look like this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So she says, look, you can do the fucking downstairs toilet and the fucking, and your stupid little place at the back. You like to sit and hide from the sun in the summer, like, you know?
Yeah. I've been lucky enough to come here before and your toilet amazed me. You've got your awards and you've got shit, your tour passes.
I'll show you in a bit, bro. Yeah, it's pretty fucking, it's pretty badass, bro. Yeah. Basically from the Manics when I was fucking, I remember walking up the James in town and going, all right, mate, what is, look, I'm in a band, I am. And I hear you're in a band as well, like, you know? And I'd love to fucking support you. And my friend, I'm not a football fan, but I had a Man United t-shirt on.
No?
James said to me, well, you won't be supporting me with that t-shirt on. Anyway, and then fast forward a few months, Richie, because Richie basically was a fan of Dub War. And so Richie fucking, he came to the shows. You know, when we played locally, he turned up and, you know, fucking looked very scared at the back, but he still turned up and did his thing. And he put our name forward for the tour when we had the tour, like, you know what I mean? When the band was very young, you know, so I just got to give props for him for doing that to the band, you know?
Is that nice to look back on and see, like, so many of, like, your musical idols being able to not only, like, appreciate what you do, but really... like share that love a bit more, because you've mentioned so many stories already.
It's nice, bro. It's, that's a good feeling, you know what I mean? I always say to people, like a lot of like people in American bands say, you know what, man, you're my favorite, you know, my favorite vocalist. I love this, your stage performance. I said, don't fucking tell me. Tell some cunt on the internet. Fucking, you know what I mean, bro? Oh, yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah. Post about it.
Don't tell me, bro, you're fucking the singer for so long. You know what I mean?
From now on, I'm going like, right then. Do you? Get Twitter out then.
Post about it. Yeah. I'm going to do that myself.
I'll send you the link.
I love to play with you. You're my favorite vocalist. Am I really? Because I tell you what, there's things I'd like, Mandalorian, man fucking Dandelion. I fucking post about that all the time, bro. My missus and my love for her, I post about that. Post about this, bitch. Tell him, like, you know what I mean? Fucking right, like. Yeah, it does piss me off. Because I'm talking fucking hard-hitting people I go, who got on fucking Top of the Pops. If I had one wish, a time machine, we'd go on Top of the Pops and play a fucking Dub War tune. Never went nowhere near there. Oh, Jules on, they never fucking cared about old Dub War, bro. Get back to Wales, cunt face. That's all I ever got. You know what I mean? I don't know. I mean, that's something I would have loved to have, like, you know what I mean? I mean, the closest we got Dub War, the closest we got the fucking the chats was number 41.
That's fucking...
Number 41, but I mean, we sat in the cafe in Newport, the four of us, around the fucking radio, and we're thinking, fuck, is it number 40? One?
You listen from the top of the bottom, boys.
All thinking, yeah, we're fucking... Instagram. Number what?
Biggest band.
Number one's fucking Upside Down or some shit. Yeah. And number one is, I'm looking,
it's fucking Dub War.
That was funny as fuck. I put that in a fucking movie for sure.
That's fucking brilliant.
Yeah. There's so many moments like that. But we mentioned kind of the music and how much that means to you. And I feel like going back to what I was saying earlier, like, with the live performance, I feel like if a Skindred Dub War, it's always a place where you see so many different types of people coming together to enjoy those different elements of influences and everything you've got going on. On the grander scale of things, is that something you're more proud of? Is that...
I get the fuck out of here, whatever you are. That's different.
Dragonfly.
Ain't nothing in here for me. Get out of here, bro. Ain't nothing in here for you. No food or nothing. Thank you. Goodbye. Well, I am very ready, what's it called, for bringing... Because I look at Skindred like and Dub War, like something that will bring people, like a bridge builder, you know, and that's something I see people, you know, I see, you know, dreads and fucking gals shaking their booty and winding up, and I also see metalheads doing horns and fucking doing the pit thing, and I think to the same song, that's enough, that is an achievement, you know, and that's something I always wanted to do, and and another thing is generations. I love to see the kid, the father and the son. It's like the Jesus and the Father and the Holy Ghost turned up. But I love to see them generations. I like to go out and talk to people and spend time with people, not hide away on tour. I think that's fucking the worst thing you can do, like, you know what I mean? Because it's boring enough as it is. Yeah. Fucking sat in a room with them cunts for the rest of my life. You know what I mean? I want to go out and meet the people who's actually buying a record, get the T-shirts and interact with them. Because if you write about stuff, you write about people, you never know what stories you're going to hear to inspire you, like, you know, the internet is one thing, but a real person, you can't beat that, you know what I mean? Because, you know, you can get inspired and read something on the internet and do your research, but talking to someone and their story of whatever it may be, up or down, inspires you to go away, oh, fuck, I can write something about that. And I've had that so many times over the years with Dub War and Skindred, and that's for me, it's the social aspect. The political thing, I don't know nothing about it. I don't fucking check for politics whatsoever. I never voted. I can't complain about none of the shit, but I know it ain't right, you know what I'm saying? And the way I look at it, I can't remember, I lost my trail of thought, if that I write about my life and the way I see it, and politics and that I avoid. A lot of people say, oh, they're political. I'm too stupid to be political, bro. You know what I mean? So I look at the music I've written and the stuff I've written more of a social thing. You know, I write about my next door neighbor fucking music, my music being too loud for him. Okay. Or I write about my fucking mate's sister whose husband busses her up every fucking time he has a drink and stuff. Like, I just write like that, you know, and I prefer, it's not for me, it's not politics. It's just choosing to write about stuff will make people think a little. You know what I mean? Like, I know what I'm doing is like, yeah, boom, da, yeah, blah, blah. But when you read that fucking shit, you're like, my God, this nigga's saying some fucking intelligence. It is, like, you know what I mean? And that's something which is what I call thought-provoking, you know what I mean? And I like that in music, to make you think a little.
Well, yeah, like you said, like, you've brought so many people together, I guess, and, like, Download this year was
absolutely fucking insane.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
you got to be headlining soon.
Well, you know, I said before I'm 60, I like to headline. I would fucking definitely, Mr. Coppin. You can't come on, sort it out, like. Come on, Andy.
Come on, Andy.
Come on, and work on it, bro. Yeah, I mean, like, I'd like to. You know, and like Ari had talked about, oh, what production will we use? Bro, I don't want no fucking production, no fucking fireworks and that shit. I don't care about that. It's the songs and a good time.
Yeah.
And you can't miss that. And I, like I say to people all the time, we might not be fucking, I'm Shawshank, I was going to say them, Rammstein. We might not be fucking Andy Dufresne. you know what I mean? We might not be Morgan Freeman, but we have a good time. No, what I'm saying is like Rammstein and all these things, the fireworks and all that. I don't care about that, bro. I care about people's souls and the love and the fun. Like, you know, I mean, I love watching that fucking circus of fire and all that, but I personally, I don't want that. I want a backdrop like Rage Against the Machine, said Skin Dread, the crowd, some burning lights fucking with a little bit, maybe a little confetti at the end. Fuck you. You know what I mean? That's about it. Like, you know what I mean? And that's the way I look at it. Yeah. And I know for a fact we'd bring a good time. You know what I mean? We might not be that band that sold a million copies of any record we ever released, but we know we'd leave people on a Saturday night leaving that festival going, fucking, I had a good time, you know? I said to someone the other day, he's on stage, I looked at the crowd and it's not just a crowd, it's people. Like these people have been to work and tried and struggled to get to this concert, and some of them fucking robbed the ticket, and there's all these millions of stories in front of you, you know. And I always think to reach out to a soul and share that special time here is, I mean it, to me it's very important. They walk away going, my life is a little bit fucking better for watching that band. I think it's, and I mean, I don't know what it is, but I really believe that. I want your fucking money, don't get me wrong, but I want to empower you with something to go, you know what, I went to see fucking Darkness and I didn't feel like this. I went to see fucking Pantera and I didn't feel like this. I want it to be tiny little bit fucking the spiritual uplifting experience. You know, and that's why I'm so passionate about when I'm up there. Like, you know, and I notice people go, put my hands in here. I'm not fucking taking my t-shirt off. It might be good, but they're not that good. But I know what they're thinking in their head when they go home. I fucking wish I did. Yeah. I wish I did. I wish I had a good time like everyone else. What the fuck am I trying to be cool for? Am I fooling for? Everyone else is wrong. He's doing the fucking stupid get down. Everyone else is doing laying on the floor with him. Why wasn't I doing it? And I want that feeling, like, you know what I mean? And I think that's what music is about, is sharing the real love and the passion where you got. You know, like I said, don't get me wrong. I love fucking, I want people to buy the record. I want some money. I fucking like money, you know what I mean? But at the same time, I do feel like, not like a God thing or anything, but like, I feel like I have to empower people in some way, not just play a song for them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I've genuinely never, ever been to a bad Skindred show. And I must have been to...
fair amount.
Or a fair few.
Yeah.
Fair few.
Well, I mean, like I said...
And I can't say that for...
Well, I'll be honest. You know what, Sean? I don't have bad shows, mate. I honestly don't. I mean, when it was me and my fucking sister in my sister's bedroom with her brush singing fucking Elvis, I was having a great time.
Yeah.
So why couldn't that happen in front of fucking 10,000 people or even 6,000 people or even fucking 10 in a pub? You know what I mean? So, and that's the vibe for me. I mean, I take my back way back when there was no one there, no one interested, no one cared. That's worth fucking, you know, giving it all you got for, you know?
But but it's that mentality that has led to these shows and these things where people are having spiritual moments and are falling in love with Skindred and fucking having a laugh. And that's where all of this has come from. Like, it's fucking,
I think so,
brilliant.
Bro. I mean, I think being an orphan is fucking being a good thing. You know, as much as my parents died when I was a little boy. I mean, my mother was dead when I was 7. My dad was dead when I was 11. And I was left with my fucking weed-smoking 21-year-old brother to bring me up. So I always seek love. Because I did. My brother wasn't the sucking, the come here and give me a coach. He wasn't that guy. Like, he was more like, go to the shop and give me some Rizzler. Yeah, do you know right, what I mean? Yeah, he wasn't the coachy guy. And I come from fucking parents who were tactile, who were loving and all that. So I think it's not like... it's not the gap thing people talk about. It's not a gap, but I just feel like showing that kind of love is important to me. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and it goes back to it because, like, as I said, there's so many different kinds of people at these shows. It doesn't matter their age, their kind of gender, race, whatever. Like,
I love it.
I know friends who don't really like metal music, but if you're playing a festival, they're there.
That's like, what I'm saying. Yeah. And I think it's just, like I said, it's the uplifting thing that we do. Like, I mean, I was with that woman from America. She drove me fucking nuts. What are you doing now? Who are you with now? I'd seen that picture you took on fucking MySpace. I don't like that. Do you know what I mean? I've been with someone like that and had, like, you know, the most, it's abusive. You know, and I've been in a relationship which have been abusive, where you can do this and you can do that and you can do that. But yet, when I go on stage, I wouldn't let you know what I'm going through. I won't go on stage and say, yeah, I've had a really shit day with her today. Yeah. You know,
anyway,
sorry,
anyway, this is, here comes Rat Race.
So exactly. You know what I mean? That is my escape. All right, Lev.
Fucking
bang. Oh. Bam. And I get the power and I get the vibe and high, get back off. All right, Lev. No. Fucking no. Yeah. But that's abuse and that's mental abuse. And there's a lot of fucking people suffering with that shit. You know, you go to, it's like you see a girl in the gym and you talk to her all the time and then you see her in time with a boyfriend. She goes, all right. What? What the fuck, man? And this is a perfect sign. Because if she wasn't, you're having such a good vibe with her. Why wouldn't she be like that when she, you know what I mean? Because I know if I see someone, I'm like, yeah, walk one, no matter where it is. But when she's just like, oh, fucking hell, he's coming towards me. I love you, all right? Yeah, I'm good. Hang on a minute. Yeah. Fucking Barbara from the gym, right? Or someone stole you.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's it, then, yeah.
But people, like I said, it's people got to go through a lot of abuse. And I think sometimes coming to the Skindred show will lift that burden for a minute.
Yeah.
You know
100%. 100%. Yeah, if anybody's listening to this and you haven't seen Skindred, number one, what's wrong with you? Number two, sort that out.
Come and see us, man. We're good. Yeah. We're good. Oh, that dub was cool, man. We got some good love for people, man. It's cool.
Not good. You're underappreciating it.
Hey, man.
Fantastic.
You know, that, but they say all the good ones fucking... My sister used to say, God rest her soul, you love me when I'm dead. Do you know what I mean? When you're there, we only got the minute
with
it.
I appreciate you saying it. I genuinely believe
I got the devil on my shoulder saying, everyone who says you're good, they're lying. But, you know, that's the fucking insecurity of man. Like, you know what I mean? But and I got that too. You know what I mean? As much as I'm fucking... You know, I got that. Yeah, he's good. No, you're not, you wanker. You're fucking shit. You know what I mean?
But that's the thing. Like, I think a lot of people don't get, like your sister said, I guess, like, don't get their flowers when they're here. Like, they don't get
flowers,
enough.
Bro, I like that.
You
I
don't
like
get
that.
Appreciated
that's
enough.
Why with a song called Saying It Now that we do, I don't know if you've heard that. And I'll tell you know, I mean, and it's quite appropriate because I was on the road playing music, doing an album, blah, 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 and a friend of mine, good friend, it was someone who I'd see, like, a day like this, I'd be around his house out the back, drinking tea, going, it's fucking boiling, bro. Oh, my God, I can't start, can we, for the winter bench, I can't wait. And that was Sean, like, one of my crowd, and I knew. And when he got sick, I went to see him, but I didn't know he was sick at the time. He said, I got cancer, bro. And I said, what? He said, I got cancer, I have, bro. I said, nah, bro. He said, listen, because I used to go and see him, like, but I know I was a couple of long tours coming. I said, I'll come and see you again, bro. Fucking no. Come and see you, like. And came home, long time, like, for a few weeks. Kept saying to him, I got to go see Sean, man. I got to go see Sean. I kept saying it. And my sister said, you better go fucking see that boy before he died, you know, because he's not fucking well. You want to go and see him? Go and see him, like. Put it off again, went on tour. And the day I got on my bike, I said, right, ride up and fucking see Sean. I'll go see him, man. Got there, the morning, I knocked at the door, his wife said, he passed away, Bench. So it's like, fucking hell, you know what I mean? That was like, I went, I got you now and it's too late. And that's like you're saying, if you love somebody, tell them, no, man, it's no fucking big deal. You know, they don't say, I don't care about your love, fuck off or what, but at least you told them how you feel, like, sorry for spitting.
Oh, yeah. No, of course. And I feel like that's such a good message to share to people.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, if you're doing these kind of things, you've got to have some sort of fucking sense in it. You know what I mean? Or some sort of what's going on. Because everybody you're talking to, they got a reason for doing what they're doing, or for being who they are. Like, and I think it's good that people want to know that, so they're not on your own. Like that song says, you ain't lonely. You're not the only one who's lonely. Every fucker is, you know what I mean? So it's good to share that, to know that, you know what I mean? And people just see you on stage, he's happy all the time. No, I'm not fucking happy all the time, bruh. You know what I mean? And that's something we need to share, like, not just fucking the untouchable rock thing that you could never touch, you could never be. I think that's bollocks. Like,
that's the thing, I think, yeah. Well, that's the thing, with it being 2022 now and social media and all this shit, like, we've got so much exposure to our rock stars now. Like, thinking back when I was 16, right, I couldn't have got in touch with Fred Durst
in any
way, shape or form, right?
Yeah, that's it.
And now I Instagram him once a month on the podcast.
Yeah. Is he on yet? Is he coming on yet?
No, he's fucking liked him. He liked every post I fucking sent him.
Well, there you go.
Prick. Come on, man.
I know, it's not that. It's not that. I always fucking talk to people on Facebook, see? Yeah. If someone reaches out to me and says, Ben, you know, blah, blah, and they you know, so sorry to bother you. You're not bothering me, mate. I'm bored as fuck. Thank you for contacting me. You know what I mean? Yeah. So far, I know you only got limited time. Fuck you on about? What are you talking about? Someone else? I'm looking around for the other guys you must be talking about. I ain't got limited time. I'm sat here doing fuck all. Dying for someone to contact me.
Thank you, actually.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, and I leave a voice note or something for them because I'm cool like that. You know what I mean? You don't... you know, just hide away. And there's people I reached out to, and I'm like, Chuck D, you cunt! Flavor Flav, you wang ya! Please fucking talk to me, like, you know what I mean? Nah. But like you said,
So it was mad back in the day, you couldn't get that. But now, to see that, I think it's probably better. In a way, there's positive and negatives to it. The positives I see to it is that you can now see that rock stars, like you said, when you know, you're not always having a good time.
Yeah.
Whereas,
well, that's cool,
back
isn't
in
it?
The day, you just think Axl Rose was constantly happy.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Yeah, exactly. He was constantly cool.
Yeah, but that's probably. Yeah.
You know, like in my mind, like Fred Durst was just laughing going on the street. Like, ha ha ha.
Right,
but
then,
no, you're just like, oh, you know, he unposted for a few days. Oh,
is he
all right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And it's true, man. Yeah. It's fucking true. Serious. I mean, there's sometimes people read things wrong. Like, I go, so I'm talking about something and it's slightly, a bit downer, and they go, are you all right, Benj? You are? It's nice that they want to know, but it's true though, isn't it? Like, are you okay? Everything all right, Benj? Yeah, it's cool. I'm just I got a fucking cane over and I'm fucking depressed. What's wrong from me?
But I'm sure you've had a lot of those kind of messages from fans as well, because I know there's one story in particular where someone wrote you a letter. I think it's a fan from Newcastle, and they were kind of really... they're having a really down time and just letting you know that your music kind of saved them. Yeah, yeah.
It was a TV show as well. Someone from Skegness or somewhere like that. Right. Was really depressed, and they was on the TV talking about how the Skindred brought him through. And that's, you know, I mean, that's priceless, man.
Fuck.
You know what I'm saying? That's priceless. Yeah, I got one as well, bro. Must be on the same Goosey level.
It's just, it's mad, isn't it?
Yeah, it, like I said already, it's a position you got to be, I think you got to use to, just to empower people, I think, especially in this day and age, it's all fucking mental, isn't it? Like with Russia and all these assholes going on like they're fucking gods. So you've got to give people something that... It's like this morning, funny enough, boys, I was in... Don't say I wasn't working. I was. I was on the machine, but I wrote a little thing this morning. And it says... I can't read my own writing, and I'm dyslexic as well. So like this morning, I was on the machine and said, it's the first of the month today, people. The first of the month is the best day to start anything fucking new. So what I think, the first of the month is an incredible opportunity to cut some fucking shit you don't want to do anymore out of your life. Could be smoking, sniffing, cheating, lying, eating, injecting. Today is your day, bro. And just stop the fuckery. It's the first of the month. An opportunity to start afresh. You know what I'm saying?
Nice.
I got shit. And I told Kevin earlier on, I said, look, bro. He said, what is it? I said, I'm not fucking telling you. You might fuck up. You say, you can't. You're full of shit. Yeah. So, but the first is an opportunity to start fresh. And I'm like, right, okay. I'm trying a thing in my head, and I'm empowering myself. So it's a good opportunity to start. It's like, you fucked up all the other 30 days. You fucked up. You got a fresh new to start again. And I think that's cool.
Yeah, no, that's great mentality.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. That's
lovely.
Thanks for reading that. That's really beautiful. But we talked about like all these different kind of projects and stuff you've done over the years. And I wanted to just kind of get the little the story behind you and Rob from Metallica's band. I think that seemed to be such an interesting time when that originally came together. Yeah. Again, between Dub War ending and Skindred starting. Obviously, you know, you've gone on to do your career. He's gone to join Metallica.
That was pretty cool.
How are they doing?
He's still fucking moaning. He's still moaning like me. All your managers are cunt, your bandmates are wankers. He's still like me and you, bro, which is great. Yeah, me and Robert run way back. You know what I mean?
But it must be nice every now and again. You get to go and do those shows. And
Now and again when he connects with me, it's fucking nice. Like, you know what I mean? Because I feel like you ain't forgotten me, even though he's in the biggest rock band in the world. Yeah. Fucking Stranger Things have made him bigger, you know? And I like that, you know, but he'll call me and go, what's up, G, blah, 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 what are you doing? How's the kids, blah, blah, blah. And it's nice, you know what I mean? But it started, me and Rishi got off stage in Australia, and we was in a beautiful dressing room called the Broom Cupboard, changing, right? And the door knocked, and I said, fucking, I said, come on. Which is me and you. No other cunt's going to fit in you. You know what I mean, bro? It's all locked, and this little guy stood in the doorway, well, you look little at the time, right? Stood there going, hey man, great show. I said, bro, give me a minute, like, it was like a scene from fucking the Lock Stock, because I'm going, bro, give me a minute, like, I look back and Richie's going, that's Robert Trio. I said, who? I said, the guy managed to be fucking suicidal and blah blah blah. I said, never heard of him, bro. Anyway, so they came out to the dressing room. He came up and he said, look, man, I just want you to know I'm a massive Dub War fan. I'm on tour with my band at the moment in Australia and we're playing down the road, blah, blah, blah. And I got a tape, I got a cassette for you.
Oh, yeah.
I got a cassette. Some stuff I've been writing with a friend of mine. We're looking for you. If you fancy, he said, we're trying to get all different vocalists to sing on this album. Like, you know, and I said, he said, if you fancy singing one of the songs or you can write one of the songs, feel free. You know, I said, oh, like, well, I took the poster, I took the cassette and didn't play it for ages. Like, so the one day, Richie said, oh, that'd be good stuff. That will, bro. That'd be really good stuff. So I said, all right. Well, you know, a couple of weeks later, I put it on and it was good. It was really good. I was like, wow. And I didn't write one song. I wrote about fucking 20. I wrote, you know what I mean? I just kept writing and writing to it. And it was good. So I sent it back to him and it was great. Phone calls were great back in the day, innit? You miss it, pick up a phone, you'd have to go, who is it? Yeah. You know what I mean? I said, love that.
Who is it?
Ring, ring. Get the phone, love. Ring, ring. Get. Who is it? Rob Tool? Yeah. I said, is that a guy from Fuel? Yeah. She said, I know.
Is that a fella from the back of the wall, bitch?
So we just fucking, you know, he said, got the tape. He said, I got the tape. He said, listen, give me your address. I want to send you a ticket to come to Los Angeles now. I was like, I'm a rock star. Yeah, and that was it. And I went over and we went in the studio and recorded a bunch of the songs. You know, I met a bunch of other people who are still in my life. Fucking, you know, I mean, you go to Los Angeles for the first time. You meet these fucking, you're in a very creative circle, even though we weren't in Metallica at that time. All the people who are around you are really creative. You've got Shani Smith, who's this great actress. You've got her husband, Jason Raposo, who's a great photographer, what they call a surf photographer. And he's got, you got to get him on you, bro. He's for, he'll kill you with stories, bro. Serious. I said, I watched that American Made the other week and I thought, my bridge and Jason's story would be as long as this. I mean, like, he's a scouser. Married a Hollywood actress, lived in Malibu, in a big house, mansion, kind of fucking beautiful place. He'd been a prison in Mexico and deported. Oh, he got a story and a half, bro. The first time I ever met him, he told me about, he was a kid, up in Alaska, near Alaska, he was on one of them fucking deadliest catches ships. And he said, him and another kid went on the ship, right, to do some shit. To work as like a deckhand. Yeah. Said the one day, put in the boat in, put in the fucking, the net in, and like, turned back, he was gone. She took him. Gone. Said to the guy, he said, George has fell over. He said, fuck all we can do about it. He said, we got to go. So we can't turn back and look for him, man.
Fuck.
Yeah, that's a true motherfucking story. And he got, that's just one. So I met him. Yeah. All these doors were opening up, some really cool people. You know, I got to meet the Osbournes and you know what I mean? So, you know what I mean? Yeah, it's a magical time, like, you know what I mean? And I come back and then me and Dan started Skinhead properly, like, you know?
Nice. Yeah, it's nice that you get to still do that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Again,
but the connections made is the nice because they're still in your life in some way or another, which is nice. Like, you know?
And on the other side of that, like over recent years, you've done like a lot of work with kind of upcoming bands and younger musicians. Mm-hmm. Some of them have gone on to do like really good things. I mean, Jamie from Bullet has said to us before that you kind of helped him to really scream. He never screamed before told him to do it.
Yeah, well, he kept fucking blowing his voice, didn't he? And I'm saying, bro, what are you doing? I'm screaming on stage, my voice is gone. I said, bro, just use the mic. Is that how you're doing? Yeah, that loud? Yes, the mic's doing the work and stuff like that. But Jamie and me, like from the first time I ever met him, you know, when he was in Revoca, you know, I wanted to do something with him. And, I spent the time producing that record. Like, I haven't done another one. I don't know why, but it was a good time. It was a good time.
Yeah, is it quite nice for you, though, when you get those chances to work with younger bands and those kinds of stuff?
I think it's important to work with younger bands. It's called, a lot of people fucking, they get up the top of the ladder and they pull it up, the bastards. Yeah. You know, I'm all about fucking helping people up there as well. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the best, I send demos all the time to different labels. They don't always catch it. Yeah, I do all the time. I always, like, if I know someone, a band is coming up and they're strong and they got a lot of spirit. Like, what is the band called at the moment? Florence Black. Yeah. I really spend a lot of time trying to get them their stuff off, you know, to different labels. You know what I mean? I send it to Eric. I send it to some other ones as well. So I think it's important to, I mean, you can't do it for everybody and you got to find, there got to be some sort of passion for you to want to do it. Like, you know what I mean? But yeah, I'm glad that Florence Black are on tour. I seen them recently and, you know, it's just lovely to see, like, you know what I mean? There's a few more bands that I'd like to help, but sometimes your hands are tied. I can't help my own fucking kids. I'm on yours. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And that's the way it is.
Yeah.
But speaking of producing then, I remember you were in some stories about you playing some tricks on the producer Howard Benson stuff.
Yeah. Howard Benson was a trip. I mean, he must have looked at me and thought I was a fucking trip, but he was as well. So the one thing that got me with Howard, it was in a studio recording. I did all the lead vocals. I said, oh yeah, fucking do some harmonies in a minute. What? So do some harmonies. What? So what's wrong with you? Fucking deaf. You sound like a parrot. What?
You should be producing this.
He said, I can't understand you. I said, you're going to be doing some harmonies in a minute. Sorry, man. I said, no, you're taking a piss. I said, harmonies, bro. Harmonies? Harmonies? I said, yeah. I'm going to do some harmonies, bro. And this guy's looking at me, fucking player. He said, anyone? Anyone? And Dan's laughing. I go, he said, what are you saying, man? I said, should I write it down? Got a bit of paper, wrote it down, held it up. He went, harmonies, man. What the fuck? I said, I fucking said harmonies, bruh. Yeah, so the one time we was in the studio, he was really show off and off. And, you know, I mean, he used the same studio about 6 or 7 times. And the studio, like, you know, he's bringing money in the studio, so they're happy with him. So on in the parking spaces, right, they had all their parking spaces. And I'm like, one day I'm out there, I'm sat there watching him. He's pulled up. Look at him showing off. Like, he says, I can give the guys together. You know the guy with the tape hop? I can give him my card, and he knows my number, and he won't even rob me. And I just, well, you're gonna fucking show off, mate. Didn't you really? Show off. And one morning, I was in the store cupboard. You get bored in the studio. You're bored. Like, you open doors, you fucking shouldn't. So I open the door, and there's a fucking, the spray that they use to write Howard Benson on the thing, right? Yeah. On the floor, yeah, where his parking space is, and they've got a nice font for him and all that, and this lovely font, and they've held it down, and they've stenciled it all nice, like that. Well, I found that paint, didn't I, right? So I'm like,
God, there you go.
So I walk, and he pissed me off a couple of times, right, in different aspects. I go, right, I'm going to get that. So I wrote, oh, it's got, like, you know, Richard Smith, this one, that one, that one, this, and I said, Howard Benson. I got the spray, and I wrote, is a wanker. And he came, and he went, hey, man. I said, I know nothing about Rob. I said, that's Dan. He's fucking had the paint last. I seen him with it. And then the next morning I come, no one mentioned, and they fucking painted over it. Like,
oh, man. Mad. Did he get upset about that? Or
no. I like being called a wanker, man. Oh, he's American, man. I love being called a wanker. Call me a wanker again, Benji. Great word, wanker. People don't say that enough over here. I know, mate. Because they're wankers. Yeah. Nice. But yeah, Howard Benson was, I mean, it's funny because, you know, producers are fucking weird people, you know. When I recorded Babylon, right, with Howard Benson, there's a bunch of songs we recorded, and it was 3 or 4 of them that he said to me, you know what, I'm going to leave these tracks here because I don't think they're ever going to be singles, so I'm going to leave these to the engineer. I go, okay, bro, that's cool if that's what you want to do. I said, well, here's what it is. I said, yeah, you know, you're doing the Jamaican stuff a bit too much, you know, okay. He said, so I'm going to, you know, I don't think it's ever going to get much radio play. So I said, all right, no, I'll do it with a kid, like, do it with the engineer. Okay. Went in the studio, recorded it. Track I did with the engineer that I would say was run good. That was Nobody.
No. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking glad he didn't do it in here, because it would have been like, nobody gets out of here. Some of them are coming, they want wreck for this. Lord have mercy. Please, but hey, man, you know when you do the, you know, some of them are coming, could you do it like, some of them are coming, they want try dog we out. No, bro. And that's pronunciation, because harmonies don't work. You know, so that I think, you know, you miss a trick. He missed the trick. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's done now. We did a video, millions of people viewed the song, you know, and it's cool. Like, and I dig it. And, you know, the songs, it's funny because the songs he did meant he was going to fucking champion him, do the vocals for it. They didn't do shit. You know what I mean? So it says it all, like, you know what I mean? I think people dig what they do, and it's fuck all you can do.
So did he have no involvement in Nobody then?
Well, he arranged it in a room. Yeah. We spent a lot of time on the Babylon in Newport before we went to America with the it was very, it was beautiful because I'd never experienced this before. When we signed to, can't remember them, we signed to this label.
Beeler Brothers?
No, before that, we were signed to a bigger label in the UK. And we had a development deal. And I was like, wow, okay. So they sort of give you a couple of quid. And you spent a lot of time, and with Skin Dread, I'll be honest with you, with Jeff and Ginger in the band, we spent a lot of time in our room, you know. We actually, you know, we actually was in the room from 10 in the morning till about 9 playing these songs and going over and demoing, and they were learning their craft because later on they became engineers, didn't they, and stuff, you know, and they were learning like on a Fostex how to record and bounce the vocals over. And I remember doing that. We did that a lot with them, and I felt part of the team at that point, you know what I mean, and it was really good. I can't remember what I was going to say, but I think, yeah, with the development thing, like, it's something that doesn't happen like it used to. And having Per Keeman, who was a Scandinavian guy, he was our A&R man, and he came down and he really sculptured them songs. And before we got to America, he was championing all the ragga stuff and really saying to me, you know, the melody is important and stuff like that. And he really put a lot of energy and time. He'd come down every Friday. It was nuts because we'd have a Chinese with him every Friday night for a month or two, like, and then we went to America. And yeah, so he developed the sound of Skindred on the first record, definitely. And it was hands-on as well. I don't think it's like that now. You just say, here's the record, and they go, okay, cool. But we was really pushing the songs apart and pulling them, but try this part by ear. And I think talking about getting to the chorus quicker and stuff like that. And we don't get that now. I think with Howard Benson, he was really good because he had this radio thing going on. So that taught us when we went away from him, we took the lessons of life and recording and getting into the chorus quicker and all that stuff. Because you don't know that. I mean, sometimes I get demos from bands. It's fucking ages before they get to the chorus. I'm like, oh, bro, I'm fucking, you know, my face is like this when I watch Tool. Do you know what I mean? I don't get it, bro. No, I love that. I love the radio song. And I think Howard and Pierre gave that to me. And because you listen to our arrangements, they're pretty good for the band that's doing it on their own.
Yeah. You know? Well, we've recently did a podcast with Brent from Shinedown.
Okay.
Because he had a developmental deal around him.
Okay.
So basically, he was in his first band, signed to Universal Atlantic. Atlantic, signed to Atlantic. Then the band.
What was the name of his first band then?
Good question. They weren't together very long, but then his A&R fella kept him and then built a band around him or whatever. So this is only the second time. This is like a developmental deal.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, we were a band. So. Like, it didn't. Yeah. No one else come or went. But yeah. The way how they built the songs, it was not just thrown together in a studio. It was a lot of time went into it. You know what I mean? And that's something we all do forget because it's easy for someone to listen to a song and go, fucking shit. See, and oh, that's new album's crap, isn't it? You don't know the pain that people have been through putting it together. It's like, do you know what I always wish? That when one of the audience, if I could go and watch them work, yes. And stand in an office
that's
going,
crap, isn't it?
Come on, sort that. Because we're vulnerable as artists.
Yeah.
And we've got the only gig where people can say, wanker. Yeah. When I go to your garage, you're changing a tyre. Oh, shit, mate. You know what I mean? And it's not fair. And I do always think that. Like, when we've played with bands, really bad bands, I won't name them, but really shit bands, and they're going down terrible, and the audience are like, fucking crap. I always go on and say, do you want a fiver? I'll give you a fiver, get yourself a drink, and wait till they fucking finish. Be nice now. Yeah. Ain't no need for that being horrible. You might not like them, and they don't like you. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But there's no need to be horrible. Let them do their thing. If you don't check for it, go out of the room until they finish, and then the fucking whole audience left.
Nice. Well, Benj, I absolutely love these stories. Just as we wind down here, just a few last questions. Obviously, the new Dub War album is coming out now. You've said how pretty much of a passion project this has been, but like, when people check it out, what's one thing you really hope they take away?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
From it more than anything,
you know, I mean, the years of collaboration, I mean, the years of meeting friends, I hope they get the vibe of it. I mean, Mikey Gregg did a great job on the album. I mean, Ginge Martin Ford, monster drummer. The reason why Ginge ain't on the record is because we fell out, but at the same time, his wife got real sick with MS and he's been taking care of her. And it wouldn't be fair to come back in the band, Ginge and all that, because I just think it's more important that he deals with his missus and stuff like that and gets that end of his life right. You know what I mean? But Mikey Gregg, I mean, it's for me personally, it's just what they call it, something of, it's been a labor of love.
Yeah.
That's what they call it. And I didn't understand that when I first heard the UB40 album. Thing is, I'm fucking serious. You know what I mean? Cheers, bro. Yeah, but that's the vibe, man. That is the vibe. Like, I just want people to have that. You know, I mean, like I said, it's all about Newport, from the artwork. And I mean, I got, bro, in all honesty, when I think about it, when I look at it, the artwork, I mean, Rankin Rogers on one of the songs. Now, Rankin Roger, when I was a little boy watching Top of the Pops and this band from Birmingham came on called The Beat,
yeah,
with these white guys and these black guys doing this thing, I'm like, oh my God. And fast forward a few years later, I'm sat in a room talking to Rankin Roger about him being on my wall as a little boy growing up. And then me saying to him, you fancy doing a song with us? And he said, yeah, man. We started talking about reggae music and punk music and how it affected us. And next thing you know, I sent him the instrumental, and he sent his vocals back. And, you know, we did a collaboration. And sadly, a few months after he finished the collaboration, he passed away, like, you know what I mean? And then, on the other hand, I'm killing people like a motherfucker, me. Check this one out. This guy produced, he mixed fucking the album for Skindred, the first album. He mixed the album, because Howard Branson produced it, but Rick Will mixed the album. And he did a song on the album called Vibes in the Place, and he was supposed to do the whole album. The motherfucker dropped dead. Yeah, he was going to do it. So then, obviously, Richard Jackson, Welsh hero, beautiful sound guy. He knows what he's doing in the studio. You know, I mean, he did work with the Automatic in the early days and stuff. So, you know, he's brought some great Welsh bands success. Yeah. So we went, basically, we did it with him. He was mixing it and all that. Yeah, man. So, yeah, it's definitely an album with a story. Yeah, and plus, you know, like all them names on there, you know, all them great drummers and stuff. Yeah. I've never mentioned Roy as well. And Roy is a friend of mine through Robert. I met Roy through Robert Trujillo, through the Mass Mental Project. I actually met him through doing the Soulfly stuff years ago. And then, like, you know, when we finished the track, when we finished these albums, I thought, I wonder if Roy would be down with it. And I sent the track to Roy, and he just come back, and he did all his programming stuff. When if you listen to the track of Roy, he didn't just play drums on it, he did all the programming too, because he did the 666 Studio 666 for the Foo Fighters album. Yeah. So he did the soundtrack for that, which is great, because I know these guys, they're hardworking guys, and they do this stuff, and it's a love that they do. And for him to get that movie, and God rest, you know, God bless Taylor and all that shit, but for him to do that movie, it's pretty fucking, you know, it's pretty cool. Like,
yeah,
and it is.
Yeah, and with all that, I mean, you've told so many stories about just being all over the world, but obviously Newport is such a special place to your heart. How crazy is it when you go somewhere like, I don't know, some Madden festivals at the other side of the world, mm-hmm, and you've got people doing the Newport helicopter?
Oh, it's fucking brilliant, mate.
Yeah.
Brilliant. I love the Newport helicopter. People say, you know, I said to the boys the other day, you know what, I'm going to stop doing that. I've just been doing it a long time now, fucking 12 years or something like that. But people love it.
You can't.
Love it. Yeah. Love it. I love telling them off as well, take your fucking shirt off. I love it, mate. My sister came to see me. She said, Clive Webb, that's my name. Clive Webb, I tell you now, it's terrible when people pay for you to be naughty. She's like, if you was in school, you'd be fucking expelled.
Yeah. Isn't it, man? Yeah, no, that's what it is.
That's exactly like, what she's, and that's what she's, because she don't fucking like the music. Yeah, my sister likes fucking Gladys Knight. You know what I mean? She ain't listening to fucking Stereophonics or Korn. Do you know what I mean? So she just went and watched the concert and went, he's swearing and just being fucking naughty a bit. And they're giving him money.
Yeah.
And that was the vibe.
Well,
like,
what you could do is now you could make it like you pretend, well, yeah, you hate the Newport helicopter.
No,
like, whatever you do, I don't want anybody to take it down.
I don't know.
They instantly
I started
do it.
Doing this one as well. When we finish the next number, ladies and gentlemen, please, I want you to do something for me. Human beings, do this for me. When we finish the number, I want you to boo us. Not clap or scream or cheer. Boo. We finished rap racing the other day. Dun, 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 dun.
Yes,
it's fun, bro. Yes. It's fun. But that Newport helicopter, it's funny because I'll tell you the story quickly. The reason why it's called the Newport helicopter, because I played a festival, I think it was Sonosphere. I went up on stage and I said, let me hear it from the Irish. The Irish cheered. Let me hear it from the Scottish. The Scottish cheered. Let me hear it from the English. The English cheered. And then I went on to do something else.
Like, oh.
You know, my train of thought went on. And I totally forgot about the Welsh, right? So I went in the pub on a Saturday and I said to Dave Coker, all right, Dave. He said, not really, Noble.
<He's
done it! laughs> I said, what? So he walked away. I said to someone else, what the fuck's this problem? Say, Ben, we're just talking about a band like in there, yeah? And
nothing good, mate.
We just had to talk about four. Nothing good, mate. And I says, right, he said, Benj, what it is, like, you was on stage at Sonosphere, and you didn't mention, like, the Welsh, like, you mentioned the English, Scott, well, you got ashamed of us or something, you? I said, not a fucking toll. I said, bro, have you ever been in work and you lost a train of thought? I talk so fucking much on stage, I forgot to mention the Welsh after that. You know what I mean? And he said, we was all here waiting to cheer. Sorry, bro, I didn't fucking mean it. And anyway, and then I was in Download and I done the thing. I seen it on this old hip-hop video years ago with him, North Carolina, come on and raise up, take your shirt off and wave it around your head like a helicopter. And he said to me before we went on, listen, that wall of death thing, don't do it, because people damn it. And I said, okay, what am I going to do? Because we used to do that shit. And I was on stage, and we get to the breakdown, and I said, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And this is off the cuff in fucking Download. Go right. Everyone, take off your garments, hold them in the air. Hold them up like this, and Dan's going, what are you doing, man? So I'm holding it up in the air, got my shirt, say, listen, I'm going to count to four, I'm going to swing them round, and we're going to do the Newport helicopter. And it's sort of, you know, and then now I go to pub, it's like, Newport, yeah. You know
what I mean? Yeah, a moment where you went on, do his thing, and then I'll say.
And I said, right, I'm going to call it a Newport helicopter. Well, anyway, I did that. People fucking love them. They still, it's crazy because they still love it to this day. And I mean, passionately, like, you're going to do the Newport helicopter? Yeah, I'm going to do it, like, you know. Yeah, and that was the vibe of it. You know what I mean? And I, like I said, I did it the other day, and I love it. I love doing it.
I've literally been places, and especially at festivals, where people are like, right, well, I've got to have an extra t-shirt ready for this.
People are bringing extra t-shirts to gigs.
Exactly. I mean, what I want to do is get a load of ripped up towels and fucking throw them down to them so they got it, because I know there's some of the girls like, I'm taking my fucking top off again. Yeah. Okay, I didn't mean it.
You bought helicopter towel merch, mind.
There you go. I got one in the attic. I'll show you later.
Nice.
Shaped as well. Good shape with the Newport helicopter written on there. That's a good idea. I mean, I'll put that to the because we're going out. Skindred's going. We're playing a few shows. I'd like to do more. It's a shame with the Dub War thing, I'll be honest with you, because I'd like to do more with the Dub War album, but the Skindred stuff is coming soon. So I gotta sort of put this to bed. One of my dreams is to fucking play a couple of shows with Skindred and blow them a fucking way, mate. Me and my boys in Dub War versus Skindred.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm down for that, see? Give me, like, you know, put a band on between us, but, like, you know what I mean? Give me a little breath, you know, if they get it. Because I know I got it in me.
Yeah.
Half hour set to fucking Dub War. And then Skindred.
Yeah,
you know,
get the DJ on
there. There you go. Do the DJ set as well.
Oh.
Yeah. Go to the air. Don't trip up. Hang on, left. Who's got that fucking oxygen?
Play.
Yeah, man. Yeah. But anyway, I just want to say, guys, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
We opened doors. I haven't been down in a fucking long time, so that's good. Cheers. You know what I mean?
No, but
that's very good.
Yeah, thank you for everything. Thank you for the music.
Appreciate the inspiration.
Thank you for the shows. Thank you for the moves I've nicked that I've used myself.
It's good, man. Pass it on. Listen, bro, I sit in that house watching fucking, listen to the names, the Marx Brothers.
Yeah.
Fucking the other one on the piano, the gay dude, fucking Liberace. He's a sharp motherfucker.
Yeah.
Some of the shit I do, I steal from Lip. Nice. He's great, mate. Clap. Yeah, I watch all that old stuff. Dean Frank Sinatra, because a lot of people just see the ones on the news, but you go down and watch, you can find concerts, full concerts of them. And these are classy people. And I think I want to go down that road. You know, I don't want to be them, but I want to draw on that energy to pass it on, like, you know what I mean?
And you do. And you
killer,
fucking
killer, killer.
The best.
Yeah.
That's the vibe, brother.
Well, cheers. Thank you so much.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate you.
Cheers.
Yes!
Woo!
I just realised as well, we didn't open this episode with Sapnin, or as it's known in Jamaica, Wagwan! Yes! But yes, what a fantastic conversation with the brilliant Benji Webb of Dub War and Skindred. Go and check out that latest Dub War album now. Well, not now. Wait, we got like four more minutes. Please, hang about for us and then go check it out. Because it's fucking rocking. So yes, thank you very much to Benji Webb for chatting to us and letting us into his fantastic abode.
Yes, it was literally like a Benji Webb mansion with all the memorabilia and stuff. It was so cool to see. And it was just a really nice day for us to get together, sit in his outdoor garden thing and just chat all these mad stories. This reminded me of kind of like the really early episodes of the podcast when we got to, when we were traveling a lot to do things in person and stuff. It was just a really nice time. But yeah, Westgate Under Fire, the album is available now. Go and pick it up. New Skin Dread is coming very, very, very soon. So keep an eye out for that. And
I know two people who do a snippet of the new Skin Dread.
Do you know what? So do I.
Do you?
Yeah.
They told me it was booming.
It was booming. And I got told that it's very good to dance to.
There you go. There you go.
But Skin Dread will be touring arenas in the UK in December supporting Volbeat. And on the lineup is Napalm Death, which is a mad package.
What? I was just about to say, because the thing is, right, at this point now, if I was an headline band, right, I'd be scared to take Skin Dread out, right?
Oh, for sure.
Like My Chemical Romance were to take the Blackout out. Not my words, the words of Gerard Way. That's right, Gerard. I'm saying it in the British pronunciation because we are where the words came from. Gerard Way said, "We were worried you were going to tire the crowd out before we got on." If I was any band, right, that I, like, you, they'd be fucked after Skin Dread. You'd think you'd have, like, you'd have to have, like, a tired, sleepy band, really. Like Radiohead. You should have Skin Dread supporting Radiohead so people can just go, "Oh, thank God, I don't have to jump about. I can just listen to this fella now talk about how creepy he is."
Well, Volbeat are bringing out Skin Dread as main support and opening is Napalm Death. So, you know, the perfect mixture package. Yeah. Going on there.
It starts fucking madness and then just gets to fucking bigger. Mad. Bonkers. What a mad tour.
It's the start in December 15th in Glasgow, heading to Leeds, Cardiff, Nottingham, and the massive Wembley Arena on the 20th of December. So if you're looking for a Christmas party, probably go and check that out. And I want to give a shout out to a lot of Benji's work with some younger bands lately, including As Sirens Fall, Sumo Psycho, and Punk Rock Factory, which he featured on a Disney song. And you know a lot about Punk Rock Factory and Disney songs, Sean.
No, I know a lot about Punk Rock Factory. I know fuck all about Disney song. So don't put that fucking evil on me, right? That's got nothing to do with me. I'm looking forward to going on tour with them in February, where I will be DJing there with Welsh pop punkers Say It Anyway as well. So I cannot wait. It's going to be a fantastic time. Punkrockfactory.com. I know nothing about Disney songs, Morg. I can't believe you tried to tarnish me with that.
It's fine. I'll give you a list of things to watch before February and you can get updated on.
Oh, cool. Thanks, bud. And I will throw it straight in the bin. Do me a favor. Send it to me this week. Yeah. Because I'm going to get a new phone and I want to smash this one up. So.
All right, cool. I'll do that. But while we're mentioning things, Sean, your band Raiders have a couple of shows coming up for September that I think you should let people know about.
Yes, thank you very much, Morgan. That was no way planned before we started talking. September the 4th, Raiders are playing like an all-day festival in Fuel Nightclub with... Oh, here we go. Sean trying to remember. Sean and his dementia brain trying to remember. Glass Heart are playing. Fantastic Glass Heart are playing. Our Hollow, Our Home are playing.
They are. I know them.
Do you? Class. I like them a lot. Tell them I like... Oh, when you see them, tell them I like them a lot. Loads of bands playing in Fuel, in Cardiff, September the 4th. Come along. It's going to be fun. And then September the 17th, my band is headlining a gig for some reason in Bridgewater, in the southwest of England. We're doing a full set, new songs. Oh, our poppiest song to date is going to be played, I think. We are being supported by three fantastic, fantastic bands, including my friend Mikey White's band, Fangs Out, who are opening. So get there early. So that's 4th of September, Cardiff, Fuel, 17th of September, Bridgewater, The Cobblestones, which I failed to mention previously.
Well, there you go. If anyone's looking for a night out in the UK, there's some dates for you there. But of course, remember that if you enjoy this podcast, you want us to keep it going, you want to support us, you want maybe ask us some questions privately about some secrets about the podcast. Maybe you want some bonus episodes that we're not releasing to the public, or maybe you just want to make some new friends in our wonderful Patreon community. Please go and join our Patreon at patreon.com
/Sapnin. It's the best way to help us continue making this podcast on the regular. And one of the new bonuses recently was we had a mini podcast with your brother, Jay Smith, a renowned tour manager, merch seller, and van driver.
Yes, he, or as he's known to me, Glassjaw's tour manager, because one of my favorite bands, Glassjaw, once recognized me as the brother of our driver, not as the front man who spent 13 years in a band trying to get you to notice him. So yeah, that was a good one. That was fun. He says some mad stuff about who he's been touring with and stuff. I listened back the other day and it made me chuckle very much. So yeah, check out patreon.com/Sapnin. You can give as little or as much as you want. If you are Elon Musk, give it to us all. Give it all to us. Come on, bud. And then we'll fucking shade it out. But yes, check out patreon.com/Sapnin. And if you'd like to send us any questions or future guest ideas or things we might have missed out with guests, so complaints, basically, get in touch with us at Sapnin Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and where you could try TikTok, but I check it every 2 weeks now. So, such a good start. Has anybody else had a bigger fall off on TikTok than us? First video, 2.2 million views. Next one, couple of 100,000. And now we're down to like 900 views on a video that's been out for weeks.
I put a video out the other day and I was very, like, not happy with the response.
Fucking yeah, it's fucked. We don't
algorithms
use it,
not, and
yeah,
ugh, youth.
Children. Yeah, children, but yeah, check out sapnin.com, not yet. Ooh. Oh, some kind of buyer now. Shit. At Sapnin Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and all that stuff. Fuck, I gotta stop before I give other people more ideas.
If you had the description of this episode, there's loads of names there from our Patreon that we do thank, but of course, we always end these episodes with a massive thank you from Sean, who gives a shout out to the elite members of our Sapnin Podcast Patreon community.
Yes, you hear that correctly. Only I am thanking you right now. There is no Morgan Richards thanking you
because he doesn't love you.
He doesn't love you like I do. Thank you very much, Kylie Wheeler. Don't talk over their names because that shows how much you don't love them, right? Compared to me, who loves them very, very much and more than Morgan does. Definitely more. Thank you very much, Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Leibowei, Janelle Castan, Paul Hirschfield, Mitch Perry, Tony Michael, Dilly Grimwood, Kelly Owen, Emma Barber, Nathan Croshaw, Natasha Morris, Sammy G, Kat Besson, Dana Lasnova, Jenny Robinson, Murray Grimwood, Scott Jones, Kieran Olmey, Amy Dawson, Amy Louise, Tom Owen, Stuart McNaught, Kyler O'Sullivan. Again, get in touch with us. M. Evans Roberts, Caroline Robinson, thank you very much, Katie Puttack, Louis Cook, Martina McManus, Danny Eaton, Carl Pendlebury, James McNaught, Jenny Munster, Craig E. Knoxville, Jason Heredia, John and Emma, Emily Perry, Kelly Cannon, Kalila Keane, Adam King of the Goss Parcel, Ollie should probably say something funny to you, Amesbury, and he managed not to. Thank you very much. Josh, what do you call James Bond in a bathtub?
We had this last week. It was Bubble of Seven. Fucking hell, Josh, Bubble come on, seven, change Chris. It, bud.
Nah, crap, he's run out of them now, only. Thank you very much to the wonderful Alice Wood, Gary White, Reese Bowling, Kate Stevenson, Kyle giving up on Steve Vai Honey, going back to the theme tunes, David Smith. And last by no means, Connor Lewins. I want to give a shout out to Kyle there. I'm giving up on the Steve Vai Honey. Morgan, unless you've got any...
I'm sending emails every couple of weeks just to remind them.
I love that. Now, right? But we are fucking going, oh, he promised us something and we want it. We are literally, like, thing is, right? If people did this to the government, I think we'd be in a better place. If people were like, hey, you promised us after Brexit, everything would be cheaper. Everything's more expensive. And now, this winter, we might be having, pardon the pun, blackouts. That's mad. Oh. But yeah, we should, yeah, every week now that's it. Steve Vai, where's his blood? I'm going to start tweeting at him, I think, from my account.
Just every week. Every Friday, just give a new podcast is out. Steve Vai, where's the honey?
Yeah, like the comedian Limmy, right? At 12:45 p.m. every Friday, he has a tweet go out that says, check out Daft Punk, get happy. It's the sound of the summer. So maybe if I just set one up to message him every Tuesday out of the blue, Steve, where's the honey you promised? But the thing is, if I forget to turn it off before I die, that would just do forever. That forever.
Every Tuesday.
Forever.
Wow. Yeah. But thank you everyone for listening. Thank you to our Patreon for continuing to make this happen.
We just have a conversation then. Yeah, sorry.
We'll be back next Friday and every week with a very special guest. Today's episode has been very touching. I'm really glad we got to do it. Peace, love, and enjoy your week.
And I'm glad we waited, to be honest, so we could go and meet up with Benji and have this conversation like this. So thank you again to Benji Webb, Dub War, and Skindred for the music over the years and the inspiration. You make me want to be a better frontman and be in a better band. Come and see us September the 4th, September the 17th.
Sapnin!
We do like a laugh, huh?
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.